Father, we give you the praise. Father, we give you the honor. Father, we give you the adoration. Blessed be your name. Honor to your name. Adoration to your name. Release your breath upon us tonight. We ask that no person will leave here the same way they have come. Thank you for breathing upon this service tonight. Be glorified, Lord, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Give the Lord a praise as you take us. Welcome everyone here tonight in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Somebody say a loud amen. I'd like to speak on the art of soul winning, the art, A-R-T. Like how somebody carries out a practice. The practice of soul winning, the art of it, the expertise of it. Our objective remains understanding keys to effective and productive soul winning. Mark chapter 16 and in verse 15 all the way to verse 20. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So then, after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of the Father. The Lord bless his word. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord walking with them and confirming the word with signs following. Amen. Somebody say a louder amen. The art of soul winning. There are three things I want to say by way of introduction. Number one, we have the mandate of soul winning from our Master Jesus as his departing words to his disciples. Again, we have the mandate of soul winning from our Master Jesus as his departing words to his disciples. We just read it in Mark chapter 16. Verse 15 to verse 20. And we all know that you don't take the words of a departing soul, the last words, you don't take it for granted. You don't toy with it. The last words of a person. When your elderly father or elderly mother has lived their lives, when they have lived their lives, and they say, you know what, it's time to go, but listen to what I'm about to tell you. Those final words, you don't take them for granted. So we don't take for granted the departing words of our master. Number two, we have the commandment of soul winning as a major purpose of being saved by God. We have the commandment of soul winning as a major purpose of our being saved by God. In John chapter 16 and in verse 15, he said, "You have not chosen me." Is that right? 15:16. "You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit." That is, you are saved to save others, and that your fruit should remain. "That whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it unto you." What is that fruit about? Proverbs 11 and in verse 30. It said, "The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise." That fruit is referencing soul winning. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and in verse 15, he said, "And that he died for us, and such that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again." Keep going. Alright, keep going. And verse 18. It said, "And all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and has also given us the ministry of reconciliation." Every single one of us who have been reconciled to God are to reconcile others to God. Am I communicating? So we are not saved to sit in church and just enjoy messages. We are saved to save others. He has reconciled us to himself and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. Soul winning, evangelism, does not belong to a select few. Rehoboam is anointed to go win souls. Papa Adeboye is always after souls. People like Paul and Enche, they want to just be going to a crusade everywhere. That's not what it is. Every one of us, we have the ministry of reconciliation. Don't forget these passages. Finally, number three, scriptures make it clear to us that soul winning is the heartbeat of our Father. In 2 Peter chapter 3 and in verse 9, it said, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but he is long suffering." Some people say, they say Jesus is coming. Why has he not come? This is the answer. He is long suffering, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That is, I am giving people time. Let me give a longer time to see how many will agree to be saved. This is heartbeat. When you touch what is dear to his heart, he will touch what is dear to your heart. He says, "You go and bear fruit, so that whatever you ask me, I will do. If what is bothering me, you attend to it, I will attend to what is bothering you." It's a new day for somebody. Somebody say a loud amen. Having said all of this, the question is, the fact is, we have no option but to go all out in the assignment of soul winning for God. No option. No Christian, no child of God has an excuse. Oh, I don't know how to talk. I don't know how to do this. That's nobody. There is a mandate. There is a commandment. There is a drive to make sure that our friends, our family members, our classmates, our colleagues at work, the people God brings our way, we do our part to see as many as can be saved. We may not save everybody. We may not force everybody to be saved. You may even be trying to talk to some people and they are insulting you. No challenge. All you need to do is you have done your part and God watches. The other issue is that many people actually want to win souls, but they don't know how to go about soul winning. They don't, how do I go about it? We are looking at it today. We are looking at the art of soul winning. The approach to take in order to see effectiveness and productivity in soul winning. So what approach will assist in effectiveness and productivity in soul winning? I'm going to enumerate 5 things tonight. And after that, either coming Sunday we continue or in the midweek service. Number one, what do I do? What approach do I take? How do I go through in the winning of souls? Number one, is through the display of love and friendliness. The display, general climate of love and friendliness. Proverbs chapter 18 and in verse 24, the Bible says, a man that has friends must show himself friendly. And there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. If you are going to have people in your life, if you are going to have people take you serious, if you are going to have people consider that you mean well for them, you must possess a friendly disposition. You know, the Christianity of the 70s was a very, very brutal Christianity. You know, it has its pros and cons. Then the revival fire was very intense. But with that intensity, there was a lot of aggressiveness towards unbelievers. Very aggressive. Just look at this. Look at you. You are on your way straight to hell. I remember one day, a young man, and I have met that young man after 40-something years. Because when I was growing up very well, I was very, very adventurous. Everything I did with the whole of my heart. I thank God that God caught me on time. So I was being normal, like a normal young man. And he was looking at me and telling me I was wearing a particular cloth, and he said it was a cloth of the devil or something. I looked at him and said, are you normal? Are you okay? What's your business? He's living in America now. I saw him recently and he remembered the episode 40 something years ago. Do you understand what I'm talking about? It was so confronting. There was, at that time when Christians dealt with you, you don't want to go to church. It was so harsh. It was so confrontational. It was so condemnative. But as we grew, we knew that even the Master Jesus, the one that came to save the whole world, the one we are preaching about in order to save people because he died, the Bible called him the friend of sinners. Matthew chapter 11 verse 19 said, the Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they said, behold, a man gluttonous and a wine bibber, a friend of publicans, that's tax collectors, and sinners.
He said, but wisdom is justified of our children. That is, I know the wisdom I am applying. And I know the reason why I am behaving like this. You will see the product of this behavior. It was that wisdom that made him call a chief tax collector by name Zacchaeus. And he said, today I will eat in your house. In those days, when they call a person a tax collector, it's a proper thief. That is, those are crooks, manipulators of figures and all manner of dubiousness. But he said, I will go to your house today and eat with you. The principle he exemplified was, you can love the sinner without loving the sin. And you can hate the sin without hating the sinner. That is where we have the challenge. Where we hate both the sinner and the sin. Where we throw the child with the child with the poo, we throw it away with the bath water. God is speaking to someone here today. Probably the reason why nobody wants to listen to you is because they think you are so hostile. You are so confrontational, so condemnative. The holier than thou attitude is so intense. It's okay if you think I'm going to hell, so you go to heaven, let me go to hell. We are not talking about sitting down and drinking alcohol with them. That's not what we're talking about. We are not even talking about dressing naked like them. That's not what we're talking about. We are talking about a heart disposition. A heart disposition towards them. You pity them because nobody will know the right answer in an exam and write the wrong thing. Nobody. Nobody will know for sure that I am going to hell with this life and still follow that life. So, heart is just filled with compassion. This person does not know better. He's destroying his liver with this alcoholic, with this alcoholism. He's destroying his life. So, the heart is heavy. You see them with their, this young man. Stand, the one with the, I went to preach at ShopRite. I saw him with his hair plaited and all manner of look. Right? I put my hand on his shoulder under the mass circumstances. I said, look at you. Are you okay? Man plaiting hair? Are you gay? I put my hand on his shoulder. So, it's where with you. Led them to Christ there. Invited him to church. He came to church this Sunday. I wish the media still had this picture when I saw him. He came to church that Sunday. He came with the hair still. I invited him to my office. I saw them in the office with the hair still. Just keep coming. I didn't force him to scrape his hair. But just go ahead. It was later on and I came and realized that he got transformed. At that time, his mouth was highly tobaccoized. Highly tabarized. Taba. Take your seat. That's the real word in my heart. Tabarized. Do you understand what I'm saying? He's finished school. He's a gentleman. He's, you know. It's not that I loved his look and the way he was behaving, but I loved him. I know that someone who can be as aggressive as doing this, when it comes to God, he will be aggressive equally in the opposite, in the good side. That was how Paul the apostle was. He was very aggressive for the devil. When he came to God, he was aggressive for God. Many of us have lost a lot of people to the enemy, to the world, because we came with a very judgmental and condemnative approach. A woman brought me three of her children, and one of them
was like the young man I just mentioned, plus more.
I said, really? You like to look like this?
Oh, yeah. Why not? All right. Let's trust God. And the next time I saw him, he had come from outside the country. His look and everything has changed normal. I said, what happened? Nobody forced him, nothing. He just realized that he needed to change that approach. So, through the display of love, genuine friendliness. Look at what the Bible said in John chapter 13, verse 34, all the way to verse 35. If you get the young man's picture, please let me know. A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if you love one another. So, even the love we have among ourselves as brethren has evangelistic power. Hatred among ourselves drives people away from God. They call themselves Christians, but they don't greet each other. They call themselves Christians, but they don't attend the same meeting. They don't even shake hands. When even people see you talk against your fellow brother, and the unbelieving ones see you, the way, how angry and bitter you are with your brother, it drives people. He said, by your love with one another, shall all men know that you are my disciples. There are people seated in church beside each other for donkey years. He doesn't know the name of the other person. He doesn't know what they do. Just come sit, stand and go. Life shouldn't be like that. Somebody you just left church with is stranded by the road. You are driving an empty car. It's nothing like, where are you going, please? Can I assist you? Nothing. It's just your own. These things affect the way the world perceives us. It affects the impact of our gospel. I have so much to say, but I need to go. We need more love in the body of Christ. More love among ourselves. An evangelistic dimension that will convince the world that we are real. When somebody brings the matter of your brother to you, just say, tell me more. You rebuke them on the spot. Are you a brother's keeper or a brother's killer? You want me to join you? By the genuine display. Evangelism is so easy. That's where we are starting from. That friendly disposition, that lovely disposition, that niceness. By the genuine display, through the display of love and friendliness, number two, through the display of godly character. Matthew 5, verse 14, and in verse 16. It says, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. Let them see your character. Let them observe you. Then they will glorify your Father which is in heaven. Let them notice that there is something different about you. It will point them to your Father in heaven. Acts chapter 11 verse 26. The Bible says concerning the disciples, when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that the whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. And the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. They were called Christians. There was something about them that reminded people about Christ's character. 1 Timothy chapter 4 verse 12. See what the Bible said. Let no man despise your youth, but be thou an example of believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in faith, in purity. Be an example. Be an example. Be an example. Be an example. Your character. Some pastor asked me some time ago, what do you do to make your children follow your God? Because there are Christians at times who battle with children going to church, with children following God, with children serving God. It was a simple question. I said, just be a Christian in their front. Don't do anything extra, just be a Christian.
You don't need to do. They may hear what you are saying, but they are changed by what you do. Their lives are transformed by what they, because no matter how much you hide, there are things you cannot hide at home. When you are discussing with your wife, you can't be hiding them. When you are with the children, you can't be hiding. You might hide from everybody, but they will see the real you. The real you will escape. The real you will escape. One man told me, he said, some children were talking to me about the brutality of their father and how the father literally hit their mother's on the ground one time, held her plaited hair. She saw the head bleeding. I said, really? Another one said, he stripped the mother naked in front of that boy child pulled his dress to cover the mother for them to go back home. He said, is this a person or what are you? I said, you will lose your children. You will lose them. By this, your action, you are... It wasn't a prophecy. It was reality. If this tiger, this lion you are showing him, you are showing that you are. Why should you marry somebody you don't love? Why should you marry somebody you want to kill? It was not long before what I said began to play out. Sit down. I'm not sitting down. Who am I to respect you when you hate my mother? Do you understand what I'm talking about? And this affects everyone. Our classmates are watching. Our colleagues in the office, they are watching us. Your driver is watching. Everybody is just, everybody around you, they see you. They are not in doubt that you carry the Bible, but they are seeing something else. That was what St. Augustine of the Catholic Church said. He said, preach the gospel always. And when necessary, use words. What's the meaning of that? Your life is a preaching. You only add words to what you are already preaching. Your living is, you are a revelation. You are a revelation. You see? So the act of soul winning does not start with opening your mouth to talk to people. It begins with your disposition, your love, your friendliness. It continues with the godliness of your character. In office, they brought bribe. You ate it together. They are castigating and killing people's character. You join them. They are sharing alcohol with 5% concentration. See, this is 5%. It's not too much. The beer is 4%. So this one is higher than beer. You shared it. And then your eyes, your head is turning on your way home. And they saw you when you were sharing it. And next Sunday you say, we have program in our church. Say, which church? You follow me to my church too. You follow me to my church. I have church too. There was a man they call Bishop. He's Bishop of Alcoholic Joint. He says he does his services in the Alcoholic Joint. Professional man. Drink alcohol and walk back home with his car key in his hand. The Bible says wine is a mocker. Where's your car? This is the key. That kind of person, you are joining him to drink, and then you say, let's go to church. Let follow me to my own parish. he will serve you his dangerous communion. It will never be your portion. So let's not struggle to try. Just struggle. Like I told that man, let your struggle not be to do this, don't do this. Just live. Be real. Live in front of your children. Live in front of your colleagues, your classmates. Live in front of your contemporaries. Just live. Number three, okay, that's our guy there. This picture is still in the church here. I'm sure you can see the leaves that I told you about. And the nicely plaited hair. I mean, do you understand what I'm talking about? He was met on the road like that. Hand was placed on his shoulder. Wow, how are you? Spoken to, brought to church, still left like that until he felt it was time to change from that disposition. Praise the Lord. Through the display of love and friendliness, through the display of godly character. When I was rededicated to God 40 years ago, I had come to the Lord in 1979, but you know, small children then slithered back, but 86 fully, I was back to the Lord. God, I had an encounter of about 2 hours between around the hour of 2 a.m. and 4 a.m. of the 12th of May, 1986. At that time, God pointed at one person. He was just using somebody. He said, look at this person. Person I knew. Christian man. Doing well financially. Hard character. I said, look at that man. What is he lacking? See him. Is there anything he is missing for serving me? And I looked. The man was fresher. I mean, was everything. I said nothing. He said, so what will you miss if you serve me? See, what I'm saying is God wants to use you to point somebody to himself. He wants to use your life, your character. He wants to take you and show somebody and say, look at this person. She is serving me. Look at that person. He is serving me. Are you better than him? See him. He's a sample. Like he used Job to point to the devil. Job, look at this, my servant. I mean, Satan, look. He used Job to point to as an example for Satan. Look at this, my servant. What do you have against him? Nothing. So through the display of love and friendliness, number two, through the display of godly character, number three, through the possession of divine presence. The possession of divine presence. That is, you have such a level of fellowship with God that makes you a carrier of divine presence. Such a level of fellowship with God. Such that when people see you, they are reminded about God. Something about you reminds people about God. When people encounter you, they feel there's something that makes them feel the presence of God. In 2 Kings chapter 4 verse 9, the Shunammite woman told her husband, she said to her husband, behold, now I perceive that this is a holy man of God which passeth by us continually. There is something about this man that is not normal. The man has not behaved though. He's just passing. His passage carry the presence. His movement carry the presence. He carried the climate that moved with him. That's what I'm talking about. That you can come to a point where the climate of your life carries a presence, carries convicting power. Where people will look for your God because of what they see in you. In Genesis 39 verse 3, Potiphar felt that climate with Joseph. And his master saw that the Lord was with him. He can be seen. God's presence is palpable, feelable, almost visible. And that the Lord made all that he did to prosper. The presence of God. The presence of God. When I rededicated my life to Christ, 1986, just 1 year after that, I had a very terrible confrontation of my faith. Terrible confrontation. And I won't go into the details. It involved with a loss of someone very dear and so on. If a couple of things happened. And my heart was naturally broken. I was feeling like, you know what? Where was God when all this happened? Where was God? Why should things like this happen? Where was God looking? How many of you have ever been to such points before? I know you are so spiritual, you have never experienced such a thing. You are far more spiritual, you have never experienced such a thing. Where the enemy is tempting you to, you know what, just look back. Just think otherwise. While I was in that mood, one of my friends came to me and he said, how are you doing? Fine. Because they noticed as if I was shaky in the faith. Because they saw how solid I was and suddenly I was appearing. They said, what's happening to you? Are you trying to backslide? It's unbelievable. Are you trying to backslide? Don't do it. He said, we are trying to be like you. We are trying to become like you. Don't return back to us. Chai. You know, at times drunkards can preach. We are the ones trying to be like you. Don't return back to us. Let us come and become like you. That word entered, and he entered straight. Then I realized that whatever I was doing carried impact. The presence of God I had carried impact. How I was serving God carried impact. That reoriented me on the spot. He was, not that he joined me, he was still a sinner. Later on, he gave his life to Christ. He's a pastor today. I didn't see him until after 30 something years. When I went south and I was preaching, and I, after the meeting, I saw him, wow, from my village. Are you the one? Do you understand what I'm saying? There is a presence you can carry. Smith Wigglesworth carried such a presence. He sat inside a train and two men sat in front of him and they asked him, who are you? You convict us of sin. You have not preached yet, but there is something about you that is making us feel sinful. Charles G. Finney carries such a presence. Where a whole factory is shut down because he stepped in. Everybody was gripped with the presence of God, began to weep for their sins. I told my own story many, many times. Wembley area in London, England, where we stepped in, we're being checked in to a hotel there. I think that was West London. And a young lady who was the receptionist looked at me and said, what you have, I want it. And I looked at her. What are you talking about? She is from the other religion in North Africa. What you want, what you have, I want it. Muslim girl from North Africa. I ignored it because I didn't understand. So I told the people, what is she talking about? They said, they don't know. We all just came here. As you are seeing, how we are seeing, all right? By the time we finished checking in, we came to the lobby, sat down with her, with my wife and the other people. And I asked her, so what are you talking about? He said, well, I said, what you have, I want it. I said, what exactly? He said, I don't know. But whatever you have, I want it. I said, okay, I have Jesus in my life. I have the Holy Spirit. I have the power of God. I have the fire of God. I have the presence of God. You see, everything you just mentioned, I want all of it. That was how she got all of it. Am I communicating at all? The presence of God you carry is feelable. When New Jersey, with my wife, were walking, and a man saw me and said, "Are you a pastor?" I said, "Why are you asking?" He said, "It is written all over you. I'm walking normal. The presence is just all over you." It's presence evangelism. When last did somebody feel God when they saw you? When last did somebody feel convicted because they came in your premises? In my medical school class in second year, some people were talking, and one of the girls there, "So, sorry, I didn't know you are here. I'm not meant to be talking like this when you are here." She was not necessarily saying anything sinful, just the way you just feel free to talk. "Oh, sorry, I didn't know you are here. Remember the name till tomorrow." Why? There is that presence. I came from school and I sat in front of my father. And he was a traditional ruler. And palm wine flows like water. So while we sat down talking, he said, "I should stretch for him that keg of wine there. Just stretch it." "Oh, say sorry, you don't..." He said, "Sorry, you don't touch it again, you know." I felt, because there is no way your father will say, "Stretch it to me," and you can say no. So what will I do? Until he himself said, "Oh, sorry, you are not meant to touch." Before I could think of what to do, he reversed himself. Do you understand what I'm talking about? How is it that those around you are not aware of what has happened to you? Your wife, your father, your brothers, your sister, your loved one. Why are they not aware? Why are they not aware? Why are they not aware? Presence. By. Through the possession of divine presence. Intimacy with God, relationship, until people began, and once they begin to feel that around you, then it becomes very easy for you to tell them anything. It is easy. It is a climate to sow the seed of the word. Number four, and then we have one more and we are done tonight. It is true sharing our testimonies and encounters with others. Your testimonies, your encounters. Whatever God has done with your life. That is, how he changed your life, how he healed you of something, how you were struggling financially or struggling in any way, and whatever change God has done to you is a tool for soul winning. In John chapter 1 verse 40, that was what Andrew did, John chapter 1 verse 40 to verse 44, to verse 42. He said, "One of the two which had John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first finded his own brother Simon and said unto him, 'We have found a Messiah,' which is being interpreted the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus." Whenever you find a Messiah, you are duty bound to introduce your friends and family to him. Did you hear what I just said? Whenever you encounter the Messiah, responsibility is placed on you to introduce friends and family to the one you encountered. Your friends, your family. Every encounter that changes your life, that encounter that broke the addiction, that encounter that broke the fear of the future and fear of death, that encounter that gave you hope that life is worth living, because there are so many hopeless people on the earth. That encounter that changed your life from empty-handedness, that encounter is worth it. Now, John chapter 4 verse 28 to verse 30. That was the woman of Samaria did. Then the woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and said to the men, "Come see a man which told me all the things that I ever did. Is not this the Christ?" Then they went out of the city and came unto him. You see, many people receive accurate word of knowledge and prophetic words at the command of the midnight prayer. There was one that I heard yesterday. I was very shocked myself. Her name was Lami, somebody, Joseph, right? You know, that there is that vulture after your life and so on and so forth. And the woman actually came back to say her name is Lami, and her name and her father's name is Joseph, which is short for Joe. So she's Lamin Joan Joseph. Alright? And then how that there is a tree in their family or so that vultures fly around to the point where anywhere she goes, the vulture also move around her head. And this was precisely what was spoken with her full name. And life changed. When such a thing happens, you can't keep quiet about it. Every testimony is a kingdom publicity tool. Every change of life, every encounter is to profit the kingdom for the harvest of souls. Even if you say, well, I haven't seen such a drastic thing. What about the peace of mind you feel? What about the hope for the future? Many of us don't have our answers yet in some areas. But you are not where you used to be in life. You are not in... Now, before that 12th of May, 1 week before that 12th of May, I was mortally afraid of death. Mortally. Then, that is 40 years ago. Mortally. I don't know where it came from. But I was just afraid. Until the encounter began. In the night around 2 a.m. And the voices, if you die now, where will you go? I was already afraid of death. If you die, you know. And that changed. And Jesus made the difference. The whole world, when I woke up in the morning, the whole world appeared brand new. I believe it was a Wednesday, and Deeper Life Campus Fellowship had midweek their Bible study. I went straight, cleaned the chairs in the fellowship first. I was there for the first time, and then stood outside and began to welcome others to the fellowship. This is my first time in fellowship. Can you imagine? The first day you went to church, you bought a sanctuary keeper and you became usher at the gate and greeter. That was the zeal with which I stepped into the Lord. If the only thing that happened to me was that fear of death died and peace of mind came, then I had every reason to talk to somebody about it. But you know what? When you know the one I know, you have no fear for tomorrow. Everything is under control. Am I communicating? I pray that somebody today, your encounter, your experience with Jesus so far will become foundational for the change that will happen to many lives that come your way. You believe it? Say aloud, amen. You believe it? Say aloud, amen. How many of you can remember at least one time that if not for God, you would have been forgotten since? At least once. Maybe in the midst of a terrible accident. Maybe a threat was on your life or something. If not for God, you would have been forgotten since. Yes, my own is many, many times. Hallelujah. I pray today that Jehovah God will use you as a tool to change many lives in your generation. In the name of Jesus. Finally, before the conclusion, what are the ways to effective and productive soul winning? Number 5 is through drawing the attention of others to the purpose of their lives in the earth, or to the purpose of man's life in the earth. Through drawing the attention of others. That is an evangelistic tool. You see, we draw the attention of people to the purpose of life. Many people actually are doing what they are doing and living how they are living because they truly don't understand what life is all about and why life actually. But look at 3 scriptures. Isaiah 43 verse 21. He said, these people have I formed for myself. They shall show forth my praise. I tell people, I said, we did not decide to be created, so we cannot decide how to live. Right? The person who created us decided it for us, that we should live for him. And he gave us a set of principles to live by. So if every human being is duty bound, to hand over their lives to the one who created them, then life becomes more meaningful. The second scripture was Revelation chapter 4 verse 11. It said, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. Thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they were created." What's the meaning? I was created to please God, not please me. Am I communicating? Many people don't understand that purpose. That we don't live, the sole purpose of man is not pleasure for self. This, and that's what sinfulness is all about. Alcoholism, drunkenness, and all of these things. The sole purpose of life is not pleasure for self. It is pleasure for the maker. The question is, am I living my life in such a way as to please my creator, the one who made me? He said, "This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased." Can he say that about me? Philippians chapter 1 verse 21 say, "For to me living is Christ and to die is gain." If our death will be profitable, our life must be lived for Christ. If our death, if when we die, I've come across many people, and when the loved one depart, their major concern is, where is that soul going? Especially if they were not sure that the person gave their life to Christ properly. Death is a loss if we did not live for Christ. So it's important to draw people's attention. You are not being confrontational, you are just being realistic. Say, "I want to share something with you. That there is a purpose why man is alive. There is a reason." And Miles Monroe of blessed memory said, "When purpose is not known, abuse is inevitable." We abuse life. Abuse means abnormal use. We abnormally use our lives when we don't know the purpose why we live. Hallelujah. It is a new day for somebody. If you are that person, you will say louder, amen. If you are that person, you will say louder, amen. So what are the approaches we take for effectiveness? This is just half of the preaching. Number one, it is through the display of love and friendliness. Hostility will never win souls. Number two, through the display of godly character. Number three, through the possession of divine presence. Number four, through sharing our testimonies and encounters with others. And number five, through drawing the attentions of others to the purpose of man's life in the earth. We'll continue either on Sunday or continue in the next midweek service. Again, like I said, this is to be continued, but I'd like you to hear this conclusion. Perfection is a product of practice, and excellence is a product of exercise. Anywhere you practice, there you experience perfection. Anywhere you exercise, there you excel. Let's exercise ourselves. That's just one point. Let's exercise ourselves unto godliness and exercise ourselves in the art of soul winning. If you exercise unto godliness and you exercise in the art of soul winning, you become proficient. 1 Timothy 4:7. He said, "But refuse profane and old wives' fables. Exercise yourself rather unto godliness." So exercise unto godliness. And then exercise yourself in the art of soul winning. Proverbs 11:30. Proverbs chapter 11:30. He said the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. Don't forget, any area where you need perfection, practice. Perfection is a product of practice, and excellence is a product of exercise. After I have preached for a long time and done one-on-one evangelism, I came to the conclusion that when I talk to somebody about their souls, I don't need to say, so will you like to give your life to Christ? That question at times is a bit tricky and confrontational. I learned this in the process. Because three things can happen. The person might be deciding to give their life, but suddenly the devil enters his ears. Is he trying to say you are a sinner? Secondly, do it later. Just go home and think about it and do it later. Thirdly, the devil might say, you have done it before. So, that is in my practice. So you know what I do? I say, so I know you heard everything I said. And I'm sure you are convinced that the best thing to do is to live for God and escape the terrors of hell and make heaven. With that agreement, pray this prayer with me. Right? Pray this prayer with me. 100% will pray with you. Very few. Maybe one. I say, oh, I haven't seen one yet. I won't. By the time you have prayed with them, then you go further to lay your hands, if it is possible to lay your hands, and if it's not possible to hold the hands in agreement and break the hold of sin. I learned that in the course of exercise, which makes excellent. I learned that in the course of practice, which brought perfection. I learned that. That's the reason for mass leading us people to Christ. Everywhere you are in need of surrender to Jesus, pray this prayer after me. They finish their praying. All who pray that prayer, come forward. Now, if they pray the prayer and they also come forward, then I'm convinced that they mean business. But if they pray the prayer and refuse to come forward, I have done my own. Am I communicating? I have done mine. He agreed to pray, number one. He agreed to step forward, number two. In the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word is confirmed. Do you understand what I'm saying? If you exercise. I have seen theater nurses, men especially, they've worked in the theater for 30, 15 years, 20 years. They've watched consultant surgeons. They've watched suturing. They've watched everything. Who have not gone through the walls of a medical school or anything? Who can do expert surgery? I met a man who told me of his experience. He's a consultant, a big consultant, a chief consultant. He went to a village where missionaries had been, and the man has served in a missionary hospital for almost 20 to 30 years in the theater. He told me, he said, this man, if he cuts off a man's neck, he can sew it back. That's a low. He was exaggerating. I mean, he was exaggerating in terms of the skill of the man. You are the consultant surgeon going and say, excuse me, sir, look at that nerve there so you don't cut it. He's just trying to. That I have seen this thing so much that I don't need to even think twice. By exercising and by watching it and doing it over and over, he became profound in that art. That is how it is in every endeavor of life. Tonight, you have learned something. Anybody learned something? Has he contributed anything to you? Somebody just called it a master class just now. Stand up on your feet, everyone. Hallelujah. Lift up your hands and give the Lord the praise. At this rate, I believe that somebody will have a 100% success rate in your outreach and in your evangelism. Again, confrontation and condemnative approach does it might only drive people away from God. Even if heaven and hell is a topic, love can drive it. The love for the people not to end there can be what is pushing it out. Lift up your hands everywhere you are and appreciate God for his word. We'll take some intercessory session briefly, but before then, lift your hands and your voices, and first thing to do is say, Father,
Say, Father, thank you.
For your word. For your word.
To me tonight.
To me tonight.
Go ahead. Thank you for your word to me tonight.
Thank you for your word to me tonight.
I am grateful.
I am grateful.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
Thank you for your faithfulness.
Thank you for your faithfulness.
Thank you for your mercies.
Thank you for your mercy.
Be glorified, Lord.
Be glorified, Lord.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
Yes, let me say, Father.
Father.
I receive the grace.
I receive the grace.
To walk in this line.
To walk in this line.
Of soul winning.
Of soul winning.
Now, as we go through, they will place the five things, approaches on the screen, through love and display. It will stay for about 30 seconds. All you need to do is to pick one, the first one. Lord, help me to walk in love and friendliness. Place your love in my heart like never before. Set number two, Lord, help me not to walk in negative character. I thought you'd be placing it as I'm talking. Lord, help me with positive, godly character. Deliver me from any character that will drive people away from God. Number three, Lord, help me to carry such a presence, a divine presence that will convict people around me. Let people feel God when they come close to me. Let them perceive God around me. Number four, Lord, help me to be with the grace to share my testimonies and my encounters and my experiences with you. And then, Lord, help me to draw the attention of people to their purpose in life. Help myself to live life according to purpose and help me to draw the attention. While we are praying, the background prayers will be firing us on. But lift up your voice now. Let's start with the first one and say, Father,
Father,
I receive the grace
to
walk in love,
and friendliness
with people.
With people.
Fill my heart,
with
your love, Lord,
in the
name of Jesus.
Now
go ahead and start praying. By the time 30 seconds is over, you move to the second, and then the third, the fourth, and the fifth. Go ahead and pray the last point. I'm gonna go get some more.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
The Lord has heard and the Lord has answered us. In the name of Jesus. Lift up your hands everywhere you are. Thank you, Master. We're going to take some prayer points within the next 6 minutes, and then I'll get back. Place the first prayer point on the screen from the Sunday service. Father, we give you the praise. We give you the honor. While we get that ready, right, look at Luke chapter 10 and in verse 17. One to go. And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. Lift your voice and pray after me and say, Father,
Father,
thank you
for all you did
at the crusade
this past week.
Thank you, Lord,
for causing all
to return
in peace
and safety.
Be glorified,
Lord, in Jesus' name. Lift your voice and pray.
Open your mouth and pray. Thank you for all you did at the crusades in this past week. Lift your voice and speak to God at the crusades in this past week. Thank you, Lord, for causing all to return in peace and safety. Mashadagayana. Open your mouth and pray. Appreciate the King of Kings. Appreciate the Lord of Lords. For all he did at the crusades. We are grateful. 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 We are
Exodus 23 and 25 and 26. Say, let's read together. Ye shall serve the Lord your God, and he shall bless thy bread and thy water, and I will take sickness away from the midst of thee. There shall nothing cast their young, nor be barren in thy land. The number of thy days I will fulfill. Lift your right hands and say, Father,
we ask
that you take sicknesses away from the midst of your people and fulfill the number of their days. Lord, in Jesus' name, go ahead and lift your voices.
In the name of Jesus. Matthew chapter 16 and in verse 18 and 19. Matthew 16, verse 18 and 19. Let's read together.
And I say also unto thee
that thou art Peter,
and upon this rock
I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Verse 19. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Isaiah 54. Okay. Lift your voice with me tonight. Lift your voice, let's pray together. Say, Father,
Father,
we ask
for total dismantling and destruction of the agenda of the gates of hell and the agenda of the Antichrist against the church in this city. We bring to naught their evil weapons, devices, and rising tongues in this city. Lord, in Jesus' name, lift your voice and pray. The agenda of the Antichrist against your church.
In the name of Jesus. Second Samuel chapter 15 verse 31b. Let's go. 15:31b. Second Samuel 15:31b. Second Samuel 15:31b. And David said, O Lord, I pray thee, turn the counsel of Ahithophel into foolishness.
Hallelujah.
Let's pray. Say, Father,
Father,
we ask that you frustrate,
every counsel
of Ahithophel and pay manipulators, agenda against the reality
and the destiny
of the people
of Nigeria.
We bring them to naught, Lord, in Jesus' name. Go ahead and
Jesus, then we are praying. Psalm 68 and in verse 30, let's read together. Rebuke the company of spearmen, the multitude of the bulls, with the calves of the people. See everyone submit himself with the pieces of silver. Scatter down the people that delight in war. Hallelujah. Lift up your voice and pray. We say, Father, we ask that you scatter out of our nation in this season the killers, the terrorists, the jihadists, and the kidnappers who delight in war. Oh Lord, in the name of Jesus, pray somebody.
In Jesus' name. Proverbs 19:21. Let's read together. There are many devices in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord, that shall stand. Hallelujah. Lift up your voice and pray. Say, Father, we ask for the enforcement of your agenda and purpose in our nation against all odds in this season. Oh Lord, in the name of Jesus. Lift up your voice and pray.
The Lord heard and answered us in Jesus' name.